you, Brother Chris, and I appreciate all of our accompanists and our audio and video team being here this morning to make this possible. If you have your Bibles, and I know that you do, I'm going to invite you to find Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. I want to take just a few moments this morning, departing from the Gospel of Mark and looking at Philippians chapter 4, and how do we respond? How does the body of Christ respond to COVID-19? I'm going to ask that you please forgive me for being redundant and stating the obvious, but these are crazy times. And I'm so sorry that we are not gathered here together in this room this morning. But after a very crazy 2 weeks or so, I wanted to share with you from God's Word how we as the body of Christ that is Emory Baptist Church can and should respond to the COVID-19 crisis. And then we'll see about next Sunday what the Lord has in store. We may be in Mark chapter 11, and we may not be. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul addressed a crisis in the Philippian church. Now, we're going to see in just a minute, and I don't want you to get me wrong. On paper, it doesn't seem like their crisis is of the magnitude as our crisis. However, for them, I'm sure that it was. For Paul, I'm sure that it was. Certainly, Paul experienced his own crises in ministry time and time again. As a matter of fact, if you think back to Paul's time when he was actually in Philippi, and that's recorded in Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 25. In verses 16 through 18, he encountered a girl who was demon-possessed. That's a crisis. In verses 19 through 21, he and Silas were arrested. That's a crisis. And in verses 22 and following, they were stripped, beaten, and locked up in prison. That's a crisis. Paul knew crisis. And at this time, there in Philippi, there was significant division in the Philippian church. Two women in particular were at odds with each other. Again, that doesn't seem like a very big deal to us, but to them, I assure you it was. If you'll look in verse 2, Paul addressed them by name. They were Euodia and Syntyche. And Paul implored them, he begged them, he pleaded with them to be of the same mind because they were followers of Christ. They were sisters in the Lord. In verse 3, Paul even called on others in the church to help these two sisters in Christ come together. The New King James Translation says there in verse 3, true companion. But more than likely, this was the proper name of a man that Paul was calling on to help. His name was Suzagos, and his name literally meant yoke fellow. And Paul wanted the yoke fellow to yoke these two ladies together, to bring them together as sisters in Christ. And also there in that third verse, Paul called on Clement to assist as well. Brothers and sisters, it is hard. It has been hard. It continues to be hard for me to wrap my brain around COVID-19. People are sick. Thousands have died, jobs have been lost, seasons are over, semesters are done, retirements are gone, and churches will never be the same. And all because of something that we cannot see, but has in many ways wrecked the entire world. And we are told it's only going to get worse. From God's Word, How do we respond? Look at verse 1. First of all, I want you to notice this morning that we should resolve. We should resolve. Paul says, therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Verse 1 begins with Paul reminding the Philippian church of his affection for them. And if you'll just allow me for a moment or two to remind you, Emory Baptist Church, of my affection for you as well. I want you to know I love you. I want you to know I miss you. You are loved by the Lord and by me and by your staff. And I long for the day, as Paul longed to be with the Philippian believers again, I long for the day that we can meet together again soon. And brothers and sisters, let us learn from this time. May we never take the gathering together for granted again. Don't be at the lake when you can be at church. Don't be at the deer camp when you can be at church. Don't be at the ball fields or the court when you can be at church. Don't sleep in when the church has the opportunity to gather. You are my joy. I love seeing you and shaking hands with you and hugging you and hearing what is going on in your lives. And I remember that fondly because I haven't been able to do that in a couple of weeks. You are my crown. It is my honor and my undeserved reward to be your pastor. Again, you are loved by me and your staff, but more so, you are loved by the Lord. Therefore, stand fast or resolve. Decide that we are going to make it through this crisis because we will. As many have said in recent days, and I even heard a pastor this morning say it earlier, and this too shall pass. Ultimately, we know that our home is in heaven. Listen to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The nation of Israel knew what a crisis was, and they were resolved to endure because of who their God was. Listen to Habakkuk chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. Look among the nations and watch, be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told you. We quote that verse often to say that the Lord is about to do a magnificent, wonderful miracle, but in its context, the Lord is about to do a very unique and disciplining thing in the life of the nation of Israel. We continue on. For indeed, I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. They all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scoff at kings, and princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold, for they heap up earthen mounds and seize it. But Israel had resolved to endure because of who their God was. Verse 11 of Habakkuk 1, then his mind changes and he transgresses. He commits offense, ascribing this power to his God. Look at verse 12. Talking about God. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? Remember, even in crisis, and resolve in these days, brothers and sisters, to live by faith rather than by fear. Habakkuk 2, verse 4, behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just or the righteous shall live by his faith. And then in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, listen to the resolve of the nation of Israel. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels. Brothers and sisters, times are tough. And again, they may only get worse before they get better. However, resolve to endure. Number two, rejoice. Look at verse 4 of Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Paul said that we can and we should rejoice. But some ask, Brother Richard, what is there to rejoice about? Notice the text. Rejoice in the Lord. Paul even said it twice. We are to rejoice in and because of the Lord. To rejoice is to make an intentional decision of choosing joy rather than being slave to our feelings and letting our circumstances determine our emotion. Consider these truths from God's word of which we can rejoice. Rejoice that God is still in control. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom, or your translation may read, his sovereignty rules over all. Rejoice that God is working all of this craziness and crisis for our good and for his glory. Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Rejoice that God promised to see us through this. Listen to Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And brothers and sisters, please, 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 during these crazy times, make sure that you are hearing from God each and every day through his word. If you have never done this before, now is the perfect time to start reading God's word on a daily basis. If you're already doing this, please continue. Can I just encourage you, as I have done many times, again, if you haven't done this previously, today is a great day to start. On this 22nd day of the month, this morning, in my own personal time with the Lord, independent of any type of lesson or sermon, I read Psalm 111 through 115. And today I also read Proverbs 22. And so if you're not reading the Psalms or you're not reading the Proverbs each and every day, I would encourage you to do so. And I will continue over the days to come to provide, either through email or through Facebook, and perhaps even by video in the next several days, of sharing that daily devotional from Proverbs with you. If you don't have a favorite Bible app, I encourage you to get one. And can I even recommend YouVersion, and hear from God each and every day. Rejoice, brothers and sisters, that God will meet our needs. Philippians 4:19, Paul said, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And then rejoice. Rejoice that God cares for us. He even cares more for us than he does of animals and of plants. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you will, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Brothers and sisters, in times like this, resolve, rejoice, and number three, respect. Respect. Look at verse 5. Paul said, "Let your gentleness be known to all men." Our English translations don't seem to have an exact way to translate Paul's sentiment in verse 5. The New King James says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men." Your translation may read graciousness or kindness or understanding. This morning I'm using the word respect. Let your respect be known to all men and women in the church and in the world, even if you don't share the same perspective or opinion. Brothers and sisters, this is not news to you, but no one has ever been through what we are experiencing. President Trump hasn't. Governor Abbott hasn't. Our doctors haven't. Our nurses haven't. And can I just say a word this morning? If you haven't stopped to remember and to thank the Lord and pray for our first responders, specifically from Emory Baptist Church, please do so today. I won't try to name them all by name for fear of leaving someone out, but we have so many nurses, so many firemen, so many EMTs. And they are on the front lines. They are on the front lines exposing themselves to this, perhaps for many, deadly disease each and every day. They don't get to work from home. They don't get a day off. They have to go in. And they go in for us. And so pray for these men and women. Our employers haven't been through this ever before. Our schools haven't been through this ever before. Also, please remember to pray for our educators, our public educators, our private educators, they are doing overtime and creative thinking outside of the box to do for our children what they haven't done, had to do previously. They're working hard. I know because of the teacher in my own home. And so pray for our teachers. Our churches have never experienced this before. I haven't experienced this before. You haven't experienced this before. So please, be respectful. Let your respect and your gentleness and your graciousness and your understanding and your patience be made known to all. To all on Facebook, to all on Instagram, to all by email, to all by text message. We are doing the best we can to navigate these challenging and uncharted waters. Number four, we not only resolve, we not only rejoice, we not only respect, but number four, we can rest. And we should rest. The end of verse 5 and the beginning of verse 6. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. This may be the hardest word that Paul gives us here. By the way, all of these are imperative verbs in the language of the New Testament, meaning that Paul is commanding the Philippian church and commanding us because these times are so crazy. But yet Paul is commanding and encouraging us to rest or be anxious for nothing. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Paul believed then, and we certainly know this to be even more true now, Jesus is closer to returning today than yesterday. Therefore, rest or be anxious for nothing. Or stop worrying, if at all possible. To say it like many have said it today, even COVID-19, the Lord's got this. These verses serve us well here and allude to a greater truth coming in just a moment. But listen to Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah says to the Lord, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." And the words of Christ in John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In crazy and uncertain times, because of COVID-19, resolve to endure. Rejoice in the Lord. Respect others, even if they have a different opinion. And rest in Christ. And then number 5 in verse 6, request of God in prayer. Paul says, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Instead of being anxious or worrying, we need to make our requests known unto God through prayer. Thanksgiving should be our attitude in prayer. In all things, we are to be thankful for the fact that God is good, and He does good to us and for us. At the end of verse 6, it's hard to distinguish the last term of requests from the word supplication. They both mean to speak or to ask for definite answers to prayer. And so here's some examples. Instead of worrying about your marriage, request of God in prayer to fix you and your spouse. Instead of worrying about your finances, request of God in prayer to fix your income and your expenses. Instead of worrying about your job, request of God in prayer to fix your coworkers and your employer. Instead of worrying about your health, request of God to fix your family and your loved ones. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Perhaps the best part of today's text is verse 7. And it's our conclusion. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In verse 7, Paul describes the end result. The end result of all that he instructed, all that he commanded, all that he encouraged. The end result of resolving and rejoicing and respecting and resting and requesting. It's the peace of God, which is hard to explain, that surpasses all comprehension. Peace doesn't make sense to the world. It certainly doesn't make sense to the world right now. When you're in a crisis, it makes sense to panic. When you're in a crisis, it makes sense to worry. When you're in a crisis, it makes sense to go to the grocery store and buy everything you can. However, the follower of Christ can have this mysterious peace of God. And furthermore, it's this mysterious peace of God that stands, Paul says, as a guard over our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the center of who we are. John MacArthur wrote in his New Testament commentary on Philippians about this text. Listen to this. The real challenge of the Christian life is not to eliminate every unpleasant circumstance. It is to trust in the good purpose of our infinite, holy, sovereign, powerful God in every difficulty. Let me read that again. The real challenge of the Christian life is not to eliminate every unpleasant circumstance. It is to trust in the good purpose of our infinite, holy, sovereign, powerful God in every difficulty. The last thing that I want to say to you this morning as it relates to Philippians 4 is that there is one caveat that pervades this passage of Scripture. If you are not in Christ, what we've talked about today will be impossible for you. Verse 1 speaks of standing fast or resolved in the Lord. Verse 4 speaks of rejoicing in the Lord. Verse 7 speaks of being in Christ Jesus. And so please hear me this morning, especially if you are with us today and you're not a member of Emory Baptist Church. You can't have the peace of God until you are at peace with God. And that only comes through a personal and saving relationship through faith in Jesus Christ. Listen to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's our faith in Christ that justifies us. And when we put our faith and trust in Christ, we are then at peace with God, and then we're able to have the peace of God. Today, if you're a follower of Christ, I hope you're encouraged by God's word. I've been looking forward all week to sharing this message with you because I have been encouraged. And again, I pray that's true of you as well. If you're not a follower of Christ, I want to invite you this morning to admit that you are a sinner. I want to invite you this morning to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and in your place for your sins. I want to invite you this morning to answer the call of salvation that the Lord has put on your life by confessing Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. At this time, it may seem a little bit awkward, but at this time, I'm going to invite you, whether it be in your living room or kitchen or bedroom or in your car, I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you recognize this morning that you are not at peace with God, and if God in His Holy Spirit has convicted you this morning of your lostness because you have never put your faith and trust in Christ, this morning I'm going to invite you to pray with me. I'm going to invite you to pray with me as I pray in just a moment. A prayer of confession, a prayer of repentance, a prayer of salvation. And so again, if you have heard God's word this morning and convicted by the Holy Spirit of your lostness without Christ, would you just simply pray with me this morning? Dear Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I recognize that I've made mistakes. And I know that my sin separates me from God. But I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I believe He died on the cross in my place. And so today I call on You, Jesus Christ, to save me. I call on You to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me of my unrighteousness and come into my heart and into my life as Lord, as Savior. And I will turn from my way of living and turn to You. Father, thank You for hearing this prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed a prayer like that with me this morning, I'm going to encourage you to let us know here at Emory Baptist Church. You can send us an email. You can call our church office. You can connect with us on Facebook. But we want to know if you have become a follower of Christ today by putting your faith and trust in the Lord. And again, brothers and sisters of Emory Baptist Church, let me encourage you to stay connected with the Lord, especially during these crazy times, especially during this COVID-19 crisis. And let God's word be your encouragement.